Always good to be home, amen? It's always good. And it's always an honor when Pastor asks me to share. He said, was on something, he goes, to share what God's laid on your heart. I love the fact that we can actually sow our pastor. That's why it's so awesome when he allows other men of God to come here and share with us, amen? So before we start, I'm just going to start off slow because my wife tells me I usually get so excited, it takes me a while to start slowing down a bit. So I'm just going to, you know, because I know that my level on the soundboard might be different than pastors, amen? But if you have your Bible, I want you to hold up your Bible. Say, this is my Bible. It's the living word of God. And I believe it on purpose. It's so true that we have to believe our Bible on purpose, amen? We live our life. Live our life. You know, I've been saved 30 years now, and I love the fact that you can open up the scripture and always receive something new, amen? It's like no other book you will ever read. It is the one book that will bring life, amen? You know, I've always been a reader, and so after I got saved, I continued reading, but I changed my books. And I remember I used to read these books at work during coffee breaks and stuff. And all of a sudden, the Lord challenged me one day. He said, why are you reading that? Or if not challenged me, it's like he said to me, he goes, don't read those any more than you're reading this. Amen? It's okay to read T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen or Brother Hagin, but read this more. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Because this will speak to you directly. Amen? So I love the fact that, you know, like I say, that pastor allows other men to come and speak to us. So what's on my heart? I'm just going to turn to Luke 13 for a second. Pastor Ken asked me, he goes, what's your title? I was going to call it Ought Not. Ought. O-U-G-H-T. Ought. And we'll get into that word in a second. Or title deed, if it looks easier, title deed, because maybe be an easier way of saying it. So Luke 13, I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. And he said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered and said to him, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it to the water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from the Sabbath. So I want to look at that scripture there where it says, so ought not this woman, ought not this woman. That word ought is a legal term. It's because she was a daughter of Abraham. That word means a necessity of law and command, of duty, equity, necessity established by the counsel and decree of God, especially by that purpose of his which relates to the salvation of men by the intervention of Christ. That's from blueletter.org. Strong says it also mentions it's a legal term by a decree that God had said. She had a legal right to be free because of who she was, amen, being a daughter of Abraham. And that's what we're going to look at because we are not servants of God, amen. We are children of God, amen. We are daughters and sons of our Most High God, amen. Father in heaven is our Father. So we actually, and we're going to look at the fact that we actually have a better covenant built on better promises than what Abraham had. And that's what's amazing, is that we are allowed to come into his presence totally unhindered by anything as a believer. And it's exciting. It is so exciting when we can realize that. So one of the things is that I like the fact that, as I was studying through this, is that she was a child of Abraham. We are children of him. So this daughter of Abraham, her freedom, amazingly, was not based on God. Her freedom was based on who she was. Amen? And that's what we got to realize as believers, that there's all these, if you haven't got that little In Him book, go get that In Him book that's in the Word Shop, because it tells you who you are in Him. Amen? Who you are in Him. What we get not just our healing, our deliverance. It's based on who we are. I understand. I'm not off on a tangent. I know it's based on the cross and based on what he's done, but it's also based on who we are. Amen. And that's what we're going to look at, the fact that he said she's a daughter of Abraham, built based on the Abrahamic covenant, and we have a better one. Amen? So I like the fact that the word infirmity is bound in your mind as well as your body. So it's not just it's a sickness, it's also it was a mindset she had. It took someone 18 years for her to say, here's a right and a privilege you have of as a daughter of Abraham. For 18 years, she went somewhere, and they had no idea who they were. And that's why we need to come into a good church, hear the word, get our mind renewed, amen, so we can understand who we are. Yeah. And that's the amazing thing. It's 18 years. You know, they got mad. Don't heal on the Sabbath. Well, for 18 years, she's been going there on the Sabbath. For 18 years, she'd be going there, and nobody said nothing. Jesus says, we are the lords of the Sabbath, amen. The Sabbath is made for us not for the Sabbath. So you realize that for 18 years she came in, people that should have known what their covenant was, people that should have known what they had, people that should have passed it on. And that's the amazing thing is that as believers, when we get an understanding and a revelation of who we are, our job now is to pass it on to new believers, amen? Pass it on to people that are in the world that haven't heard the gospel, amen? That's why we are reconcilers unto Christ. Is to bring people that have no idea their understanding of who they are and bring them into the covenant, bring them into the family. Amen. You know, I was sitting there, I was thinking about, and it's funny because some of the examples I use, and I've heard the example about the fridge, and it's like, as a believer, and I know so many people hear that, you know, I was going to say, well, if I walked into Pastor Steve's house in the middle of the night and I got something out of his fridge, because it's me, he probably wouldn't care. But in the same sense, if I didn't know him, I can't walk into his house and take something out of the fridge. But like I said, and he's always says, but whatever his is Timothy's, amen? Whatever his is Benjamin's, amen? Whatever his is, whatever's mine is Josh's, amen? My son Josh. You know, it's amazing that I have children because of a covenant. You know, I've had people say, well, how many kids do you have? I said, I have three. I have one by natural birth, and I have two that I inherited by a covenant with Kathy, amen? I have three children. You know, so they show to my, they're at my house, and, you know, Paul comes, and he stays with his boys, and it's like, you know, they'll say, Dad, can I have something? Paul doesn't say, Mom, what's in the fridge? He opens the fridge. Whatever's ours is our kids, amen? And that's what we understand. Whatever is Daddy's in heaven is ours, amen? And the hardest part we got to realize is that we don't have to come to him unworthily. Oh, you know, Scripture says even in communion, when you go to the communion table, it says, don't look at the body unworthily and don't come in an unworthy manner. Sometimes we have a sin consciousness and we think, I'm so unworthy because of what I did yesterday, I can't come to the communion table. That's not what he means. Because forgiveness is just repent, amen? This is coming loose on me. When you're not used to something. There we go. My ear's too big, I think. But what's amazing is the fact that, lost my train of thought now, unworthy, thank you. What it says what Paul's saying about the communion table is don't look at it unworthily in the sense that sometimes we think, I'm not worthy. And that's what he's saying is you are worthy, amen? You are worthy to receive everything that he has for us. And we have to understand that whatever is in this, amen, is ours. You know, so it's not just a physical infirmity, it's everything that the word says we can have. So I like the fact that, I'm going to look at Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified Bible. It says, now faith is the assurance, title deed, I like that word, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of the reality. Faith comprehends for us fact that we cannot experience by physical senses. For by this kind of faith, the men of old gained divine approval. It says in the Amplified that it's a title deed. Pastor Steve, do you have a car, a truck?
Yes.
How do you know you have a truck? I don't see your truck.
It's in my driveway. I didn't think it was. It's in my driveway.
But how do you know it's your truck?
Well,
an ownership or a title deed. Amen? I have a car and I have a title deed. You can't go to my tenant and say, you're going to give me this month's rent. You have no legal right to the rent of my tenant. Amen? Because the title deed on that house is mine. Amen? You have a title deed. Amen? Yeah. Pastor's been talking on prayer, but Pastor will also be, and like I say, don't get me wrong, I'll pray for the sick, I'll pray for other believers, but for myself, I don't need to pray for healing. It's already mine, amen? Because I'm a child of God, amen? You know, it's challenging when you start to look at, and in healing class, one of the lessons is that healing is in his mercies. So don't take what I'm saying as wrong. I don't receive healing because of the mercy of God. Jesus went to the cross because of the mercy of God. I don't need his mercy to receive something that he's already given me. Amen? Josh doesn't receive something of mine because of my mercy. He receives his name because it's my name. When he was born on his birth certificate, it says McQuaid. That's his name by birth. Amen? Her healing came because of who she was under the covenant of Abraham.
Abraham.
Maybe I'll just take the other one.
Thus saith the Lord.
You know, we got a new soundboard at one other church we were at, and we were playing with it. It had some reverbs and stuff, and me and a couple other guys were there on a Friday night playing with it. And there's all these effects. And we were thinking that week, oh, thank you, Jesus, and Pastor Steve.
Hello, test. Thank you. You know, we had all these reverbs and all these effects on it, and we were thinking sometimes somebody gets up to prophesy, we could do,
thus saith the Lord.
You know, but that doesn't always work that way. Amen. So I have to get my own with a bigger earpiece, because I know I can't get smaller ears now. It's too late for that. But so this, we got to remember this, amen, this is your title deed. This, by faith, we receive what's in this. We receive by faith, I have a quote. It's my quote, but I have a quote. Jesus was letting her know what she was entitled to. He's the testator of what we have. Oh, I have to get to it. I didn't put my toque down. Anyway, but it's the fact that faith in Hebrews talks about the fact that I don't need faith to receive something I don't have. I'm using my faith to manifest something that's already mine. Amen? That's why you'll always hear a lot of times, Pastor Ken, Pastor Steve, people will say, what's your scripture are you standing on when you're believing something? What's your scripture? What's your title deed that you're standing on? Amen? And it doesn't have to be a scripture in specifically, like when I was, you know, I hadn't met Kathy yet. When I was going to church, got saved, I'm single, going to church, and you know what? I'm thinking, Lord, I enjoyed being married. I did. I enjoyed being married. I'd like to be married again. So what's your scripture you're going to stand on? It doesn't say in here David's going to marry Kathy. It doesn't say that. You know, like Pastor Todd on that, like I think it was last week, he said that. Something specific, you got to pray. You got to pray in the spirit, pray in tongues. But you can get a scripture that says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and has favor with the Lord. Amen? Then you can look at Proverbs 31 and say, well, here's what I'd like to see in my wife. A woman that does this, a woman that does this, a woman that does that. Also, you can look at a scripture and say, husbands, love your wife. Oh, okay, that's speaking to me. So now I got to change me to what the word says for what she's looking for, even though I don't know who she is at this moment. You know, so then when we met, you know, it was like, oh, like I said, I was telling, I was at Pastor Murray's church. I said, well, you know, we met, and we met outside. We were at church. If you're looking for a lady, meet her at church. Amen? Meet her at your church as well. Amen? Get to the nitty-gritty. Because, you know, you got to find somebody who's like-minded. But anyway, so we met. We were outside having a smoke. Okay, it's all good now. Neither one of us smoke anymore. Amen. You know, but we were outside, and I met, and I was like, oh. And then the Lord spoke to me. She's your wife. She didn't know it at the time. And I didn't go over to her the second time we went out for coffee and said, hey, we're getting married. You got to have wisdom, amen? You got to understand, right? But it's like, okay, so now I prepared myself according to what the word said. When we moved up here, I was looking for a job. It's pretty amazing when you can go somewhere with absolutely seems like nothing in the natural, and God will still provide, amen? You know, we were talking, I think it was this week, me and Pastor T were talking about the fact that, like, when I come up here, I said, we sowed. What do you do? I went, came to the church. I had nothing to do on a Monday, so I, Pastor, what do you need? What do you need, Pastor? I need somebody to paint the floor. Okay. That was the first thing I ever did. Pastor Glenn called me, said, you said you wanted help. I need somebody to paint the floor in the basement. Oh, man. I didn't say that. I was like, okay. You sow into something. You, if you're looking for a job and you're believing for a job, because the word says it's okay for a man to work, so you have a scripture to stand on, find a scripture to stand on. Deuteronomy, he gives you the ability or the talent to get wealth, amen. Then ask Pastor Steve, what do you want to do on Tuesday? Where do you need some help? Vacuuming, cleaning, sow into some work, and you can receive work, amen. Sowing and reaping. But then have a scripture to stand on. And that's what we did. I'd get up in the morning, I'd have my cereal, I had my three Bible verses, Philippians 4:19, Deuteronomy 8:28 or 28:8, he finds a good wife. No, he gives you the ability or the talent to get wealth. And these were scriptures I was standing on because the word says I have a title deed that says as a child of God I can have what the word says, meaning I can have a job. Right? I don't have to say, Lord, do you want me to work? The word says to work. So it's like, okay, Lord, now I need to have faith to manifest so that job will manifest into the physical realm. Amen. And so I did different jobs here and there until I did another job until a better job came. Amen? It's like sowing. I didn't go, well, it's only part-time. I don't want to do it. You believe for the stalk. Then you believe for the leaves. Then you believe for the cob. Amen? So we have to realize that as children of God, we have everything what the word says. Amen? I like in 3 John 1:2, says, Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and all that may go well with you. Even as your soul is along getting well, or even as your soul prospers. Even, it's like a balance of scales. You know those scales where you have a pad on one side and you have like a little tray or a pad on one side? So you have something that you know is, say, a pound. You put it there. Then you weigh your carrots or whatever you're wearing on this side. And then when the balance is even, you have a pound on both sides. Amen? Your faith or your life, your prosperity will only be balanced how much your soul believes. Amen? That's why if you're believing for healing, study on healing. Get a scripture on healing. Confess your healing. Understand that if you don't believe it at first, then just keep confessing it. Like Pastor says, so it goes from here into here. Amen? You keep studying. Keep confessing. Keep believing. What does the word say about my healing? What does the word say about deliverance? What does the word say about my provision? What does the word say about my prosperity? What does the word say about my freedom? Amen? Until you start getting a balance, then even as your soul prospers, so then it'll be manifest in your life. Amen? And it's all in our title deed. We are children of God. His covenant was based on animal sacrifice, animal blood. Ours is based on the blood of Jesus. Amen? We don't have to start believing for something that isn't ours. We start believing to manifest something that already is ours. And even that was a revelation to me at one time. Something that simple, you know, when people say, well, you know, like I say, we all go through struggles, trials. You know, I wake up, get a bit of snivel. People say, you're sick. No, I'm not. I'm healed. You don't look healed. Good thing I don't go by what you say. And I've said that most. I don't say that to people. I mean, my wife will usually will carry on about something, and we were like, you know, because we're not perfect. She thinks she is. No, I'm only kidding. No, she's my wife, but she's not here, so it's okay. But no, but we challenge each other, because you know it's like we were doing something the other day, and I said something. I don't know, like nothing like nasty. Like don't get me wrong, but it was something. And she's like, oh, it's a good thing I don't go by what you say, and it's true because you can catch yourself like little things. Like, oh, I feel so tired this morning. Well, don't say that. You can say my body needs rest, but I'm refreshed. Amen? Because you will get what you say. You will get what you say. The children of Israel, Moses has taken them out. They're going on, and they see we should have died in the world. We should die here or go back to Egypt. You know what they got when the 12 spies came back? And the 10 gave them a bad report? God said, you are going to die in the wilderness. You are going to get what you said. You know, people are like, well, God says no. No, he doesn't. The Bible says all his promises are yes and amen. Amen? Yes and amen. I don't know if God wants to heal me. 2 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. Amen? I don't know if God wants me to have a new car. He says he gives you all things richly to enjoy and adds no sorrow to it. Amen? Find a scripture. All his promises are yes and amen. I want to start believing for a new car because our car's getting old. I'm not going to go in debt and buy a car, but I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for my new car. Thank you, Lord, for my new car. Thank you, Lord, for my new car. So I look, when I had my old truck, I would go out and wash my truck. So I was believing God for a new truck. Amen? So I'd go out and wash the truck. And you got a truck that's a little bit rusty and falling apart. It's like 15 years old. I'm washing it, and there's like flakes of rust coming off. But you have to act like it's your new truck. Amen? You got to act in faith. Amen? And then I was able to get a new truck. Amen? You know, it's funny, something about the title deed, because if I have something that is not mine without the owner's permission, it's stealing. Amen? Right? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He will try and take something that's not his. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through the pulling down of imaginations. That's why the greatest thing we have to renew is our mindset. We have to renew our mind according to the washing of the word and realize that we are worthy to receive everything that he has. When your kids come into your house, good or bad, they still have the, you don't tell them they can't sleep in the house that night because they did something wrong. You didn't do your homework, you're not having this. No, we got to realize, you know, when Josh was younger, he came into the house, he followed the rules, but there was a correction and discipline, but he still had 3 meals a day, roof clothes on his back and a roof over his head, amen? He still had everything he needed. If not, Children's Aid would have came and paid me a visit. Really? God is not a child abuser. He will give you everything you need in your life. Amen? Our understanding is we got to realize what is in here so we can have faith to manifest it. And that's the biggest thing is, ought not you be free? Amen? Ought not you be healed? Amen? Ought not you be prosperous as a child of God? Amen? And we got to realize that he has given us all things richly to enjoy. So, and Romans 4:16, I always, you know, feel for the people at the back because I don't usually follow sometimes. I told Kathy, I said, I'm going to try to follow my notes, line upon line, precept, but that's okay. Romans 4:16 says, therefore, it is of faith that I might be by grace to the end of the promise, might be sure to all seed, not only which is of the law, but also which is by faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Paul said he's the father of us all. Amen. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Abraham called those things be not as though they were. God gave him a promise. Here you go. He introduced himself, told him to come out, gave him a promise, and it says that he said, wherever you go, the land is yours. Wherever you go. You walk the length and the breadth, the land is yours. You know, the amazing thing is, I think we can see is that 35 or 26 miles is what we can see because of the curvature of the earth. We can't see any farther than that. So when Abraham stopped here, he would have got 26 miles. God said, whatever you see is yours. Well, I want a little bit farther. Well, then take a couple steps farther. Whatever you see, the more he walked, the more he was able to possess. Because of, he was the promise. He had a covenant. So he, whatever he got was his. Whatever he saw, he says, whatever you see is yours. Whatever you see is yours. Amen. Whatever you see is yours. That we could just have our eyes so enlightened to what it says in the Word of God that is ours. You know, I've been challenged myself. And like the last, when I was away at school, you have a lot of time. So when you're studying and you get near the end, and there's time when you have some downtime. It's like I didn't have any distractions. Not that my wife's a distraction or my life's here is a distraction. But when you have nobody around for like 4 or 5 days, you do. I spent time with the Lord, and he was just challenging me of where do you want to go next? Where do you want to go next? I'm not physically, I'm leaving, okay? But where do I want to go next? Where do you want to go? So I want to, you know, I've been talking to Kathy about what do we want to do as a couple next? Like, and it could be, do we want to travel? Do we want to get some vision of what the Lord has for us to do? To travel, go on a holiday? You know, where do you want to go next? Where do we want to go? You know, I'm going to, you know, meet with the pastor. Pastor, I have something in my heart I want to share with you. I have something on my heart of where I want to go next and be challenged. I don't want to stay here. Smith Wigglesworth said, if you're not growing, you're backsliding. He says there's no standing still with as a believer. And that really challenges me of where do I want to go next. Not some big things, but just one day is better than the next day. Amen? Like Pastor Ken said, you know, maybe it is a matter of believing for that, you know. But then Creflo also says that some of us look good in glasses. So, you know. But it's a matter of where do we want to go next? And what do we want to believe for? Believe for, you know, it's like believe for something every day. I know Brother Pastor Hagen says believe for a coffee even. Believe for something every day. So I've been challenged. Like, where do I want to go next? It could be something as simple as believing for maybe it's the car. Maybe it's something. And believe for something. You know, when I was sharing and I was telling the guys about my watch, my faith project with my watch, and Pastor Murray had a faith project with his guitar. He got up at the end, and as he was dismissing his people, I love what he said. He said, it's not about the physical things. It's not about the watch, and it's not about his guitar. He's got a beautiful guitar, Pastor Steve. You should see his beautiful guitar. But he said, you know, because I can believe for that, now I can believe for something. When he gets called to the hospital, I can now believe to lay my hands on the sick, they'll be healed. Because I've seen the word of God manifest in his life. Right? It's not about the watch. It's not about the car. It's not about these things. It's about the fact is, what do you want? What are you going to be doing when God calls you to do something? If he gives you a car, are you willing to give that car away? And that's the other challenge. If you really believe that God's given you something, are you willing to give it away? And it's like, I give away an old truck. And I said to Kathy, I said, I can't wait till I can believe and give away my new truck. Why not? You know, the other thing is, it was kind of funny, and I'll share it. I almost felt bad about giving something because I knew somebody needed something, so I gave my truck. And it needed some work, and I knew it needed some work. And then I started feeling bad a few months later. I'm like, is it a bigger project than you realize? And the fellow's like, no problem. He used some stuff out of it. So then he was going to sell it to Teen Challenge. So the amazing thing was, because the title deed never got changed, and it was, I don't know, a year, something like that, and he was Teen Challenge. So the Teen Challenge guy had to come to my house because the title deed was still mine, even though the other fellow was in the possession and took a bunch of parts off it and the motor and engine and everything. And I'm like, well, it's not my truck, but the title deed is still in your name. So legally, it was still my truck. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are your title deed. Amen. We got to realize, and all I want to stress is that we got to realize that we have the privilege and the honor of being children of God. Amen. Galatians 3:16 says, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ, capital S. What I mean is this. I think this is a NIV version. The law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. Verse 26, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. We have a promise, amen? He didn't abolish the Old Testament. He built on top of it, amen? So everything they have in the Old Testament is still ours. You know, I've had people, like I say, challenge me. You're to name it and claim it. Yes, I am. Well, so I have it. Follow me around for a couple weeks. I'm not perfect, but follow me around. Challenge me. Like I said, challenge me. If I'm going through something and I'm like, you know, I have my moments, you know, but deep down, I know that there's a peace in my life. Deep down, I know that my marriage is solid and secure. My walk with God is solid and secure. I know who I am in him. I wake up in the morning. I don't have to say, am I still saved? Because it doesn't matter. Because there are days when I don't feel saved. You know, I don't wake up every morning like, woo! You know? Maybe I should. Maybe it should be an act of faith. But I wake up knowing that I'm his. Knowing that I have a covenant cut in blood. I have a covenant that's better than the Old Testament. And when people look at that, he said to Moses, I am the God that heals you. Amen. He did not abolish that covenant. He built on it. Amen. He said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Everything that you see, you can have. I have a promise built on that. Amen. David gave away millions into the temple building. Millions. You look at the gold that was put into it when he built his temple. When Solomon built the temple, what was imparted into it? When he danced before the presence of the Lord, and he's dancing, it says that day he gave a piece of loaf to everybody. It wasn't 10,000 people. There was 100,000 people at least. And he's giving away bread, loaf of bread and a flagon of wine to everybody. Where did he get this stuff? He had some stuff. Well, God doesn't want you rich. Well, you better talk to Abraham, Job, David, Solomon, Saul, to name a few. If God doesn't like prosperity, well, the five of the giants in the Old Testament obviously were not obedient to God because they were wealthy. Doesn't make sense. God doesn't want you rich. Why not? Why not? As long as the money doesn't have me, amen? As long as the money doesn't have us, we can have that. I like the fact that money doesn't have me. I like the fact that I know that I can climb a mountain that's already been there. I like the fact that I know that if God told me and Kathy to pack up and move, and I've shared this before, if I know it's God, done. Already been through that mountain. Already been there. Done that. Came here. I could go somewhere else if God tells me to go. You know, it's not always easy serving God, but it's freedom serving God. There's a reward in serving God, amen. You know, when there was one night, it was a weekend I came here. I flew back to Toronto. I landed at Porter Airport. Flight was supposed to land at 8:45. We ended up landing. If you ever fly Porter, not bad airline, but don't take the last flight. Take the one like second last from the end or something. Because I did not realize that. We're flying in. We're running a little bit late because of weather. So we're landing there. The pilot says, we'll see if we can hit curfew at 11 o'clock. Like, curfew, 11 o'clock. Well, because Pearson flies like till 2 o'clock in the morning or something. Porter, because it's on the island, is downtown. 11 o'clock. We can't go there. We have to land in Hamilton. It's like an hour away. Anyway, so we're descending. Because it's rough. It's bouncy. And like you're doing this. And then all of a sudden, the plane goes off again. Oh, we didn't make it. We're halfway there. Halfway there. 2 minutes. Pay the fine. Let's get off this plane, you know. So anyway, so my nephew met me in Hamilton. We got a ride into Toronto. My nephew dropped me off because he had my truck. I dropped him off. We're driving, and there's a storm, and Kathy's texted me. I wasn't on the road yet. She texted me and said, watch your flight. Stay at Daniel's. And I'm like, I'm getting a coffee in Barrie. There's no snow. I've already left. Daniel's in Toronto. I'm already an hour and a half down the road. I'm going to Wasaga Beach. And it's not bad. Just pull out of Barrie, and there's snow. There's wind. It's flurries. Not too bad. Not a big deal. Until you get halfway. Then there's fields. And they actually have those signs with lights. This road is closed in the wintertime. Not the road I was on, but the one on the other side of the field is, because we went different ways. And I'm telling you, there was this time when I'm going through, and there was flurries at nighttime, and I couldn't see 3 feet in front of the truck. So I'm doing down this highway, 20 kilometers an hour. There's nobody else around. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, I look over, and what do you call it? My wife calls it the berm, where the snow plow plows the snow, the berm. I see it on this side. I had crossed over the road and had no idea it had gone that far. I'm so glad there was still snow on the road, or I would have, you know. So I'm doing this, and I'm sitting there. I'm praying in tongues. I'm like, Lord, I'm almost starting to feel anxious for a few minutes because I'm in the middle of nowhere in a snowstorm. Thing. I can't even get out of the truck. So if I went 10 feet, I wouldn't see my truck. And I'm like, Lord, and I have a peace, even though I could feel naturally my body was like, I'm like, Lord, how would I feel if I didn't know you? I said, how would I feel 30 years ago if I didn't know you and I didn't have an assurance and I didn't have a peace inside that you are my God? And, you know, when I left Barrie, so I'm checking. Did you tell me? Was that a warning, like, through Kathy, like, don't travel? And I just got a sense, you know what? I know I'm going to get home. And then another 10 minutes and everything cleared up again. And the same thing, about another half an hour down the road, another come through. I'm in the truck. It's on all-wheel drive, and I can feel the truck slide like this. So I just clicked the four-wheel drive, and it grabbed and it went. And same thing again. You could almost feel the anxious in my body. You could feel it. I was like, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know? And I was so challenged myself of how would I have felt if I didn't know him? Because he was. There was, my mind was doing this, but there was a peace inside. Because I know that there's angels watching over me. Amen? So we got to realize that we have a covenant that's so much better than what they had. Now, we got lots of time, but we might be done early. Just like, you know, just like what Pastor Ken preaches. No, kidding. You know, I love, you know, it's so good when your pastor can leave, but you still know you're looked after. Amen. When you come here and you know that, you know, he's ministering somewhere else and Pastor Ken's here, Pastor Steve here, you know, people are still here to look after us. Amen. You know, in Genesis 14:18, this is when Abraham comes out and Melchizedek blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tithe of all. You know, that verse says, and he blessed him. This is Melchizedek blessing Abraham. And blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. I don't know if you actually take it back to the Hebrew, the possessor of heaven and earth, he's not talking about God there. Sometimes they put their comma in the wrong spot. If you go back to the Hebrew, he's talking about, he goes up and he says, blessed be Steve of the Most High God. Steve, the possessor of heaven and earth. That's how it is in the Hebrew. He's talking about Abraham's the possessor of heaven and earth. God doesn't need to possess heaven and earth. He created it. He's talking about Abraham because he's in covenant. Whatever's mine, if I'm in covenant with Pastor Steve, whatever his is mine, whatever mine is his. So if I'm in covenant with God, I'm possessor of heaven. And he needs a man to work on the earth. Amen? So he's in covenant with us. But he's talking to Abraham. Abraham is the possessor of heaven and earth. Abraham is blessed by the Most High God because he's the possessor of heaven and earth. That's what it is in Hebrew. In Hebrew, that's what it means. Abraham is the possessor of heaven and earth. And it's amazing when you realize that he's given all that to a man. A man. And that was a covenant that is, we have a greater covenant. Amen? I just want to end up with a couple of things here. Is anybody getting anything? You understand that this is your title deed. Amen? This faith, don't believe, you're not using your faith to believe for something you don't have. You're using your faith to manifest something that's already yours. Amen? That might help you, help me to realize one step closer to realizing something, okay? I want to look at the fact that Luke 15:27. I'm going to start at, I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is the lost son parable. Maybe I will. I'll just glance through a couple of things. I'll give you a rundown, then I'm going to look at some scripture. For you, if anybody's not sure about the lost son parable, there's a father, he's got two sons. It's a parable, so Jesus is using it as an illustration. He's got two sons. The youngest son says, Dad, I want my stuff. That's what he says, I want my stuff. So Dad gives him his stuff. Everything, gives him what's his. He leaves, he goes out, he squanders it. Spends it all, gambling, living a high life. He's in another country, blows Dad's money. Actually, he doesn't. He blows his money because it's his. Blows the money. He's sitting there. What am I going to do now? So he starts working with a bunch of pigs. He's a Jewish guy, so he's totally working with pigs. He's a Jew. They don't eat pork, all sorts of stuff like that. So he's in there, and he's eating what the pigs are eating. And he says to himself, I love that because the scripture says he came to himself. He had understanding. If I was at my father's house, his servants are eating better than I am. So I'm going to go home. So he goes back and he says, he goes along and he's like, Dad, give me a job. Dad sees him, puts on a robe, gives him a ring, gives him his sandals, brings him back into the family. Doesn't make him a servant. Makes him a son, because he's still a son, amen? Then verse 22 says, But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand and his sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, not a, the fatted calf, here, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this was my son, was dead and alive again. He was lost and found, and began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked, what do these things mean? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, all these years I've been serving you. And I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood and with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me. All I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. It was lost and is found. Amazing thing was, the older brother, we always look at the prodigal son. We always look up at the son. You know, the dad's waiting. Dad's sitting there. Dad's waiting. When he sees him, oh, my son's home. Sometimes I find myself being like the older son. Why are they getting blessed? I've served you, Lord, for 30 years. The stuff in the house isn't there because he's serving his dad. The stuff is in the house is his because of his relationship with his dad. His mindset was, I'm serving you, Father. I've served you. It's his because of birth, right? Amen. Sometimes we take what we're used to, the world mindset. If I work a bit more in children's church, I'll get my healing. If I work a bit more, I'll get my deliverance. If I work a bit more for God, if I come in and vacuum, I'll get this. We don't serve God because we want to gain his love. We serve God, amen, because we love him. Amen. We sometimes, I think, we take that works mentality, like even the younger son. If I go there and be one of his servants, if I had a business, my son came and worked for me, he could work and he would learn some stuff. But he's not going to get the business because he worked for me. Anything happens to me, he gets the business because of his position. Amen? I know a friend of mine down south, he builds. He's got, his boys are younger. They have no intrigue right now for construction whatsoever. But he's got a nephew. Him and his sister have the business. And his dad, but he's got a nephew. His nephew is 20 something like that. He's starting to learn the business. And I was saying to my buddy, I said, you know, how's Stephen doing? He said he's doing good. He said he's learning. I said, he's learning. I said, well, learning the business is my thought. He's learning the business. And Mike's like, no, he's learning. He's got to learn his authority. I said, his authority. I go on holidays and I'm not there, or I'm out doing something, and they're building this house over here. And the bricklayer hems and haws. Stephen shows up. Stephen's like 23 years old, 24 years old. It doesn't matter. Stephen doesn't know nothing about building. His name's on the company. He's got to learn that when he shows up and he says, Joe, why aren't you building right now? He has some authority because of who he is by birth. Amen. He might not have knowledge of how to lay the house or how to do the bricks right now, but he's got the authority. Mike says he's got to learn his authority so that when he shows up, the guys work. Amen. When he shows up, he goes, his last name is like my last name. He's got to realize that when he shows up, I'm there. I was like, he said that to me. I was like, well, you got to realize when you go into a situation, when you show up, God's there. Amen. When we show up, God is there. When you go to pray for somebody at the hospital, who goes with you? Amen. Not anything I do, it's because of who I am, my covenant, I can lay my hands on the sick and they will be healed. Amen. I can speak to the mountain and the mountain will be moved. Amen. I can do things. I can speak deliverance. You got to show up somewhere and say, Luke 61 or Isaiah 61 is mine. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has anointed me to heal the blind. He has anointed me to speak freedom. We got to realize that when we show up in his place. That's why. That's our part of the covenant. It's realizing that we step into a situation and the situation has to change. Amen? When we step into a situation, the situation has to change. You know, I like the fact that the older brother was upset because he goes, you didn't even get me a goat. A goat? What did you get me a goat? You got him the fatted calf. There's a Jewish tradition that, my understanding, that the fatted calf was put aside for special guests. Mayor shows up at your house, don't get the goat, get the fatted calf. Because we're going to have a party. Lots of food. If we're going to pig roast, pig roast. It's different than doing pork chop. I've been to pig roast once. It's like, there's a lot of food. I worked with a guy. He was doing a pig roast for his wife's birthday. He raised pigs, so it was easy for him. He said, now I always hear you stuff pigs with like stuffing. He goes, no. He goes, I stuff my pigs with turkeys. I'm like, what? He goes, I put a turkey in my pig, a couple of turkeys, cook it. He goes, what? Lots of food. I'm like, he said, kill the special thing. This is not just my son's having his birthday. This is my son is home. He was lost, but now he's found. Amen? I like it says that he was upset. Dad, you didn't throw me a party. Everything, the father says, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. I'm dad, two sons. The younger son took his inheritance and left. Spilled it all, spent it all, it's gone. Two sons. Everything the father has left goes where? To the other son. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. Everything. Our older brother doesn't need this. Amen. So everything else that's left is ours. Amen. You know, in Psalm 91, 14 to 17, I think, do you have this in the Message Bible? No. She's shaking her head and he's no over here. I love people throw their voice. No, no. Okay. I'm going to read this in the Message Bible, okay? Psalm 91, 14 and 17. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if only you'll get to know and trust me. Call on me and I'll answer. I'll be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. Woo! I'll give you a long life. And I'll give you a long drink of salvation. Woo! I'll throw you a party, God says. Because why? Everything in the book is ours. He wants to throw us a party. You got to understand that. Oh, I don't know. We got to have a good time in church, amen? We got to learn how to party in here so we can party out there, amen? We got to be able to say to people, God loves you. So if you're sad and depressed and you're like, oh, do you know that Jesus loves you? We got to realize that it's a good time serving him, amen? That there's a struggle. Like I said, you might go through a storm and always realize that you'll get to the other side, amen? But he says, I will give you long life and I will throw you a party, it says in the Message. So don't be like the older brother who got mad because dad was throwing a party. Realize that he has everything for us, amen. Because of who we are, you know, it's like at the wedding. Like I said, you know, we always love it. We always read it. His first miracle, but Jesus didn't even initiate it. Mary did. I love the fact we can't move God. Yes, you can. Abraham, I'm going to go destroy the city. Will you stop? There's 50. Yep. Will you stop if there's 40, Lord? Yes, I will. Will you stop if there's 30? Yes, I will. Will you stop if there's 20? Yep. Stop if there's 10? Yes, I will. Oh, I couldn't find 10. Abraham didn't go any lower. We can move the hand of God, per se, in a situation. Amen. Because he wants to come in. He's a party person, per se. Not in a bad sense. You know, it says that when somebody gets saved, it says that heaven rejoices. If you actually read that, I always just thought it was angels around the throne of God rejoicing. No, actually, it's the presence in the angels that's rejoicing. which is God. When somebody gets saved, God rejoices. Woo! He says, let's throw a party. Let's kill the fatted calf. Have a good time. Have some meat and some drink. And with long life, I'll give you salvation. Amen? We got to realize so many times, we got to understand, what is ours? What is your title deed? Everything you need is in here. Amen? And if it's personal, then like Pastor said, pray in tongues. Find a scripture for what you're believing for. I'm believing for a car. If I find a scripture, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, so Lord, I want to drive and be faster than him. Okay. What does God use as a rhema for you? Pastor Jay's. That's Pastor Jay's scripture, believing for a car. A guy I know in London, a rhema grad. I think it was a couple years before Miss Anita and Pastor. And he was believing for a car. And he'd go out in his parking lot. I live in a townhouse complex. He'd say, thank you, Lord, for my... He'd say to his neighbors, what are you doing? I'm thanking the Lord for my car. Can you not see my car? He did this for like a year. Some of his neighbors were like... He said, you know, they're looking at him kind of funny. There's no car. Yes, there is. It just hasn't come yet. One day he gets the church office, gets a phone call. Tell pastor there's a car. It's paid for. He has no idea who it was. Paid for. Lincoln, go pick it up. It's already looked after. It's leased for like however long you want it. As far as I know, it's 10 years later, so the same person was still paying for his car. Oh, exciting. You know, it's exciting. So somebody moved, you know, it's like you want to get to the point that God will give you a rhema. He will give you a rhema. And you might look at it and see a scripture like that and think, that doesn't make sense. And God says, that's not supposed to make sense. Right? It's supposed to be in here. Amen. What are you believing for? Amen. And then act like it's so. Have the party now. Because the answer is already yes. Amen. Amen. Get up and do something that you shouldn't do if you're believing for something in faith. Like I said, I've mornings I wake up sometimes and I don't always feel 100%. I go to work. First time I did that, it was something I heard from Brother Hagin. A healed man doesn't stay in bed sick. So I get up. You know, doesn't happen very often. But I get up and I remember Kathy saying, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to work. I said, because I'm healed. I'm going. Within half an hour, symptoms are gone. Because there's an act of faith. And it's not because I serve you, Lord. Oh, I'm serving you. You need me. It's because I'm your child, and it's already mine. Amen. It's already bought and paid for by his stripes. We were healed. Already paid for. Already done. Sometimes we just got to renew our mind. Amen. So I want everybody to stand up for a second. So if you're believing for something, and you remember, if you're a child, if you're born again, you're saved, you're already a child. Amen? You need to say, ought not I have whatever you're believing for. Looking for a new wife? Ought not I be married, Lord? Or whatever you're believing for, right? Ought not I do whatever you want? Ought not I? Because you're free. All it took after 18 years, for somebody, Jesus, to say, stand up, stretch forth, run. All it took was for a man to say the truth. Amen? So all you might need is somebody to say, be free, released. Amen? You might just need, you know, when I like it when, you know, when a pastor has an altar call, a lot of times you go up there and you believe in your faith. Sometimes all you need is for a man to say, be free. Amen? So all you need is somebody to let you know what's in your covenant. Somebody to let you know that it's there. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your glory. We thank you, Lord, that your mercy sent Jesus, Father. We thank you, Lord. But that as your children, we have everything promised in the covenant. Everything. We have freedom. We have deliverance. We have prosperity. We have healing. We have everything that we can have long life. We have those things which you desire for us to have. Not for ourselves, Lord, but so that we can pass it on to others. Amen. You ask us to go and preach the gospel. We are the reconcilers of men towards you, to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that as we walk in deliverance, we can pray for deliverance and bring it to others. As we walk in healing, then we know that we can bring healing to others. As we walk in your salvation, we know that we can bring your salvation to others, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you move mighty within us and upon us. And we thank you that everything we have has been bought and paid for, that we can bring you glory, we can bring you honor, and we can expand our family as we touch those around us, that we can expand your family to bring those into a covenant that you have. In Jesus' name, amen.